Our text for today is the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, Samuel, the son of Hannah and Elkanah, is one of the special miracle babies of the Old Testament. Others include Isaac, born to Sarah and Abraham in their old age, Joseph, born to Rachel and Jacob after Rachel had been unable to have children for many years. Another one is Moses, who survived the waters of the Nile and the death sentence of Pharaoh by lying in a little ark until he was rescued. Joash survived the murderous intent of his grandmother, Athaliah, the wicked witch of Jerusalem, being hidden 6 years from the satanic attempt to destroy the Davidic line. And we can include John the Baptist here as well, as one being born to an elderly couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, who had long since determined that they would not be able to have children. Each of these baby boys either never should have been born, humanly speaking, or should have quickly been killed by those who sought their lives. And each of them is a preview of the greatest birth ever, the wondrous incarnation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. When we study each of the lives of these boys, we see the working of God, which would result in the salvation of us all through the blessed life and sacrificial death of his Son, Jesus, for you and me. In Samuel, we see that he's born into a family that was dedicated to receiving the instruction of the Lord regularly and faithfully. His father, Elkanah, made sure to go each year to the tabernacle, the house of worship at Shiloh. Hannah usually went too, but she did not go with the family in this one instance that we see in our text, the year after Samuel was born. Her intent was to stay with her baby, Samuel, until he was weaned, and then she would bring him to Shiloh and leave him there in the keeping of the priest, Eli. This baby that Hannah had prayed for earnestly and for many years, she was now willing to give back to the Lord. Samuel would be dedicated to serving the Lord for the rest of his life. Hannah and her husband knew that the spiritual life of their son Samuel could not be neglected or ignored. And it was not just some generic spiritual life that they were interested in. They would have had opportunities back then for all sorts of pagan rituals of some kind of spirituality. But they wanted the life of faith in the God of Israel, the God who had rescued them from the slavery in the land of Egypt and brought them to the promised land. And Samuel would go on to be one of the great priests and prophets of the people of God. It all started, though, very humbly in a little town in the region of Ephraim. Now, this week of lessons throughout these days in chapel, you have the boy Jesus at the temple. You've got Timothy being taught the Holy Scriptures from his youth. You have the description of how youth are to honor parents and so on. All of these really provide the foundation for what is done here at Bethany Lutheran College. We see this institution, and our Evangelical Lutheran Synod sees it, as an outgrowth of the work of Christian parents, and as a way to help continue that bringing up of children all the way into their early adulthood in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We rightly confess the one thing needful, and that is what lies at the center of what this college's mission is. We take to heart words like these from the Large Catechism, where Martin Luther spoke and wrote about the importance of training children. He says, "We want capable and qualified people for both the civil and the spiritual realms. And we really must spare no effort, time, and expense in teaching and educating our children to serve God and the world. We must not think only of amassing money and property for them. God can provide for them and make them rich without our help, but He has given us children and entrusted them to us precisely so that we may raise and govern them according to His will. Otherwise, God would have no need of fathers and mothers. And therefore, let all people know that it is their chief duty, at the risk of losing divine grace, first to bring up their children in the fear and knowledge of God, and then, if they are so gifted, also to have them engage in formal study and learn so that they may be of service wherever they are needed. The fear and knowledge of the Lord is what we want to help with here at Bethany. And that is why, unlike public institutions of higher education, classes in Christianity are required here. The true exposition of the Christian faith and lives that reflect the gospel of our Savior are what we desire to be the primary ways by which we are set apart from other institutions. The disciplines of the various sciences, mathematics, and liberal arts, and all the others, and people qualified and capable in their use, are very much needed in our country today, but required even more, both for the church especially, and also for a society at large, are individuals that trust in the Lord their God, that know their Savior Jesus Christ, and understand the great need for the preaching and the living in repentance and the remission of sins. And this is not something that we can take for granted. This work of instructing children on into their early adulthood in the faith of the one holy Christian and apostolic church often takes place in quiet places, in the hill country of Ephraim, in the homes of Christian parents throughout our country, and in places scattered across the world, and here, in a small college campus in the middle of a January winter. God help us to see this work of teaching the faith for the great wonder that it finally is, the blessed work of God who brings life to us through His Son, who was born a little baby boy in a little town, and who would suffer, die, and rise again for you and me. Where our eyes become fixed on what is not of ultimate importance, may God shift our gaze to His cross. When our thoughts are confused by choices and options, may God concentrate our minds on the one thing needful, the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. And when our ears are bewildered by the chaotic sounds of a world opposed to Him, may God bring the gentle sound of the gospel, the voice of salvation, through His life-giving word. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.